Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Faith Radio Mornings. It's the 18th of September, and I'm just going to trust in the fact, based on past history, that the sun will eventually rise here in the Midwest. It is getting darker and darker in these mornings as you're getting your kids off to school, driving to work. Maybe by 9 or 10 o'clock, we will see hope or promise of the sun. But regardless of that, we do know that the Son of God is risen, that it's true 24/7. And it's the good news that we celebrate and come around each morning here on Faith Radio Mornings, because life is not always easy. There are difficulties, as we see in the news and certainly in our own lives. But the fact that the tomb is empty does speak to the idea that one day, even death itself and all misery will be beaten, and God will wipe all the tears from our eyes. I'm your host for Faith Radio Mornings, Dr. Peter Kapser, joined in studio by Logan Rausch, running the sound and the board, getting our guests online that do such a good job of talking about the news and lifestyle stories from a Christian perspective. And of course, you know the name of Paul Perreault in the newsroom, who just fills my desk with news items all morning. It makes me sound smarter than I actually am. Well, we're looking forward to this hour of the show. Up first is Dr. David Stevens, a regular friend of the program, and it's a special morning with Dr. Stevens because he has released a book titled Jesus MD, and they have sent us 5 copies of this book that we would love to give away to you as listeners. And the way for you to do that would be to go to our Facebook page for Faith Radio Mornings. It's Facebook page Faith Radio Mornings with Dr. Peter Kapsner. You can just search Facebook for Faith Radio Mornings, you'd find it there. And when you get to the page, there's a link on which you can click for this book giveaway, Jesus MD. Just fill out your information and you'll be entered into the possibility of getting one of these 5 copies. And with that, I would love to invite Dr. Stevens into the program. Logan, I believe we have him on the line. Dr. Stevens, good morning. Are you there?
I am here. Good to hear your guys' voices. Even though it's dark out there, it's still dark down here in Tennessee, too. So fall is falling. Winter is coming.
Indeed it is. Well, we're really excited for your book giveaway. We're going to get into it more after the break. But before we go there, you know me that I'm a bit of a sap for these national holidays, or not even holidays, but these days that we have. I don't know who gets the power to name these days, Dr. Stevens, but it's National Cheeseburger Day today. And we had cheeseburgers as a family last night. I did butcher them pretty hard on the stove. Top. I didn't do a great job, but I'm curious from a physician standpoint, how many cheeseburgers can I have in a week before it really begins to affect my health?
Okay, well, how much salt do you put on it? We'll talk about blood pressure. Do you add mayonnaise? We'll talk about cholesterol. I mean, you can doctor up a cheeseburger pretty good if you want to, and I would go probably with no more than 2 or 3, unless you wanted to have your cholesterol checked next week.
I love it. Well, so I did put on the Himalayan pink sea salt last night. I mean, all the health benefits are touted. You know, I'm sure it comes off the shores of the Dead Sea or, you know, in the Himalayas themselves. Is this pink sea salt, is this just marketing stuff, Dr. Stevens, or is it actually healthy for us?
I've never heard of it. I can't comment. I think, though, salt is salt, as far as I know. Sodium chloride, that's the same, whatever you call it.
I love it. Well, we can't wait for this book giveaway. We're going to take a short break and come back. And again, as listeners, we have 5 copies of Dr. Stevens' book, Jesus MD, available. You can go to our Facebook page for Faith Radio Mornings. Just go to Facebook and search that phrase, Faith Radio Mornings. You'll get to the landing page, and there's a link there on which you can click, in which you can fill out your information and be entered into a drawing for one of these 5 copies. So more to come on Jesus MD with Dr. David Stevens next on Faith Radio Mornings.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand.
9 minutes past the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings, and delighted as always to be joined in the line by Dr. David Stevens, who has released a book titled Jesus MD, A Doctor Examines the Great Physician. And so, Dr. Stevens, we love having you on the program to talk about the medical issues of the day. And it's really a delight to take a departure from that and talk about the book that you've released here. Give us a sense of how long this book has been in the making and maybe what motivated its development for you.
Well, I remember I picked up a book one time called A Shepherd Examines the 23rd Psalm, and I got such an insight into the 23rd Psalm because I was seeing it through a shepherd's eyes. All the analogies and things that were there made it come alive. And yet we refer to Christ as the great physician. And in fact, there's more recordings of him healing in the four Gospels than there is of him preaching and teaching. He healed people wherever he went. And what can we learn? How can we understand him better, new insights that we can get into his character and the things that he was teaching us by looking at him through the eyes of a physician? And so that's what the book is about. And we start out looking at the whole concept of what kind of physician was he. And, you know, he healed every sort of disease. He didn't specialize. So I commented in there that I thought he was a missionary physician because not only did he heal, but he also met the spiritual needs of those that he was taking care of. And then going back to my tenure as a missionary doctor, brought a lot of stories and things and examples to get insights into how Christ wants to communicate with us and how he wants us to live.
Well, and I think the perspective that you bring as a practitioner and a healer of sorts yourself in the line of Jesus, it's incredible to read some of the stories at the ground level that you've engaged with, because when Jesus walked around the world, it's said of him that he didn't come to condemn the world, he came to save it. And there's this sense in which he could identify the sicknesses of the world and then move on their behalf to intervene to bring some healing and hope to that. And that sure is part of what you do as a physician and what you've seen over the years in your missionary practice.
It is, and it's true for every doctor in this country. We're all missionaries. It's, you know, Christian doctors, but it's just a matter of where God has placed us. And I think healthcare is one of the best ways to share the gospel with people. You do it with permission. You do it with respect and with compassion, just as Christ did. But he did. He went beyond the physical illness to deal with the spiritual need. And that is so critical. It's estimated, Peter, that 50% of patients in this country come in and the real problem is a spiritual one, a psychological one, things that they're dealing with that are being manifested in their health habits and causing diseases and the rest of it. But sin is always there. And so and I believe it's one of the best mission fields because who else sees 5,000 people a year in a situation of trust and confidence where people are seeking your advice? It's a great opportunity as God gives the opportunities to you to share Christ with them. So Christ was a missionary doctor, and those in healthcare should be as well. But the next step is, what was he teaching us as the great physician as he was doing this healing and teaching?
It's Dr. David Stevens with the book, Jesus MD, A Doctor Examines the Great Physician. And we have five copies of this to give away to our listeners. You can enter the giveaway at our new Facebook page, Faith Radio Mornings with Dr. Peter Kapsner. Go to the page. You'll see the link to enter into the drawing right at the top. And while you're there, make sure you hit like as well for other giveaways that we have as part of the Facebook page. Dr. Stevens, let's get into some of the content of the book, too. There's a chapter that you have on the power of touch. And I think that's an incredibly important invitation. About just even what physical touch can do, especially in the midst of somebody who is sick and maybe feels untouchable. Very much part of Jesus's day with leprosy, very much part of missionary medical work today. Just talk to us about the importance and the humanness of touch.
Well, touch is so important, and we see Christ touching people as he healed them all the time. My mind goes back when I saw my first AIDS cases back in the early 80s. This was just coming on the scene. It was the first AIDS patient at our hospital in Kenya, and of course, AIDS hit Africa sooner than it did in the U.S. And I walked into the only isolation room we had. We didn't know a lot about AIDS, but we know if you got it, you died. There wasn't any treatment back then. And I remember Elizabeth there. Elizabeth was sitting on the side of the bed. She was actually in a pool of her own diarrhea. She was slobbering from her mouth, couldn't control her secretions. She was skin and bones. If you've ever seen misery, it was Elizabeth. And I thought to myself, and you would have thought if you'd been in there with me, doesn't this hospital have good nurses? But the nurses were so afraid of this disease, they were afraid to go into her room. And the nurses didn't need a lecture. They needed an example. And so I asked for some gloves and basins and cloth and water. And I began to clean her up and get her settled in the bed. And when I touched her, her whole demeanor changed because somebody loved her enough to take the risk. It's kind of like AIDS was kind of like leprosy was in Christ's day. People used to shun these people. They pushed them out of society. They would not get near them. People had denounced they were lepers. And yet Christ touched them, and that touch made such a difference in their lives. And it's the same for us. We often don't realize that. I remember one of the things, just one other example, my mom, as our kids were getting older, said to me one time, "Son, it's really important for you to touch the kids when they're older, to hug them, to horse around with them." He said, "What happens? You do that a lot when they're young children, but they need it just as much when they get older. And if you don't do it, they'll look for someone else to do it." And putting your arm around your daughter, giving her a hug, horsing around with your teenagers, high touch really makes a difference, and it makes a difference in health as well. We've got good studies that show if babies don't get touched when they're young, many of them, if they don't get touched at all, will actually die. They'll stop eating. That's how important touch is. That's why we cuddle babies. That's why we hold them. And so Christ demonstrated this to us as he touched the untouchables and showed his love and compassion for them. And touch is a wonderful parenting tool and something we should do with others. I know when I came back from Africa, in Africa, you shook hands with people before you said anything. You greeted them. And I came back and started doing that in America, and people kind of looked like I was strange, but that touch was important. And it's true with our elderly, and the list just goes on and on. As people get older, they get touched less. Widows get touched less. And doing it in the appropriate way, but to show that you care, is so important. And Christ demonstrated to us that, not only with touch, but really diagnosing their problems by touching them.
You write about those stories from Kenya and Africa and touch in 94 and 95, the pages of the book, Jesus MD. And you mentioned that whether it's a natural byproduct of a mobile culture or fallout from a technological age or something else, it seems all of society is less in touch physically than ever before. But there really are some, even just like on a physiological level, there's chemicals released, there's hormones released in our brain that really cause a connection and cause a binding between people through the power of touch. So when it's in absence, it really does impact us in terms of isolation.
It does. And emotionally and physically, it makes a human difference. And looking for those opportunities to do it in an appropriate way is just something that will have the impact that you won't believe, especially with people that are suffering and hurting, and to know you care. If I go in and take a wonderful history on a patient and I can figure out what's going on just from what they said, and you can do that often the exam just confirms what you've already figured out. But if I don't touch them, if I don't examine them, they don't think they've got a fair shake, and as a physician. And so we need to understand that it's not only important for doctors in the exam room, it's important for us in our relationships, especially with our loved ones and with people in need.
It's a great book from Dr. David Stevens, Jesus MD, that we're discussing this morning on Faith Radio Mornings, and we do have 5 copies to give away. You can enter the giveaway at our Facebook page, Faith Radio Mornings. Go to the top of the page, and you'll see a link in which you can enter. It'll be open for 24 hours, the giveaway will, so if you're driving right now, please don't, try to enter the context while you're speeding at 60 miles an hour down the road. There'll be plenty of time to get involved. David, when we come back from break, I would love to get your perspective on the idea that the great physician didn't require an appointment. Next on Faith Radio Mornings. It's about 21 minutes past the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings, and just delighted to be joined by Dr. David Stevens, who's written a new book called Jesus MD, A Doctor Examines the Great Physician. We have 5 copies to give away. You can enter the drawing for that. Go to our Facebook page and Faith Radio Mornings. You'll see a link on the page to enter into the giveaway. It'll be open for 24 hours for you. And Dr. Stevens, just love going through the book here and some of the different ways in which you describe Jesus as the great physician and what we can learn from that. And I'm curious your thoughts about the idea that Jesus, the great physician, didn't require an appointment, because I think for me, I had to get an appointment with dermatology, and I believe I'm on the books for sometime in 2023 at this point.
Yeah, it's true. And you look at Jesus' life, and he was constantly interrupted. We think of an appointment, there's a time that we're going to be seeing, that's our slot. But you watch Christ as he was going through the communities and just you know, reading in the Gospels one of his normal days. You know, he had a plan for the day, and he got interrupted by the man living among the tombs, and then a synagogue official wanted help for his sick daughter, and then a woman with the issue of blood touched him before he could even get to take care of the girl. She had died. I mean, it was just interruption after interruption after interruption. And I don't know about you, Peter, but I hate interruptions, and that is my natural tendency. I have a plan. I'm very focused. I know what I want to get done today, and I've got deadlines, and I'm trying to meet them. And God's had to teach me through his example that these are divine appointments, that some of God's most important work in our lives and through our lives happened through interruptions. It was that way for him, and it's that way for me. And you can go back and see again and again how God has used interruptions to give you opportunities to touch people when they're hurting, when they are dealing with difficulties, when tragedy is happening, or when they just need some counsel and encouragement. It's those interruptions where you often have the greatest ministry. And one of the keys is coming to these interruptions with the right attitude and taking time and realizing that this interruption may be a divine appointment where God's going to do some of his special work. And I tell a bunch of stories in the book about how that's happened in my life, things that were had enormous impact in the midst of a middle day. I remember I was at the hospital. I was the only physician there. Now, get the picture. 135 beds in this hospital, close to 200% occupancy. So we had 225 patients maybe in the hospital, plus outpatients, plus women delivering, and I was the only doctor there. And one of my staff came to me and said, Dr. Stevens, there's somebody here who wants to see you. I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere out in the bush of Africa. I thought, who in the world would be coming by? And I kind of said, just tell them I'm too busy. And they said, no, this is a Mzungu. This is an expatriate from the United States. And I thought, what in the world are they doing here? And I said, well, let me finish this procedure. I'll be there. That interruption led to a ministry that touched 1.5 million people in community health, because here was a guy from Johns Hopkins University bringing that institution with all its knowledge, all its capabilities in public health to work with us to reach people and prevent disease. And secondly, that program, as many as 10,000 people, Lord, came because of that program, going door to door, teach people about cleanliness and clean water and latrines and all those type of things, and then using as that a bridge to share the gospel. So God wants us not to be so set in our ways that we can't be interrupted for his purposes.
Well, I think that's such an important invitation for all of us, especially those of us listening that may think, I don't really have all of this physician skill to offer somebody if I was available. But I know somebody in my life who feels that they're in a season of time in which God has simply asked them to be available throughout the day. And Dr. Stevens, all of us can enter into that. And it's incredible to watch how God has brought people into this person's path simply by the fact that they say, hey, I'm available throughout the day for whatever comes.
It may be over the backyard fence. It may be in the grocery store. I used to tease my dad. My dad was an evangelist. And when he was at home, Mom would sometimes send him to the grocery store. It always took an hour and a half, even if he went for a gallon of milk, because he was talking to people and ministering to people in the aisle. He'd see someone, somebody want to confide in him. You know, he was interruptible. And, you know, we can get so focused in our busy lives that we miss the divine opportunities, the divine appointments that God puts before us to ministers to people's lives and to our friends, to our family, to people in our church, to strangers, opportunities of kindness that open up a conversation and opportunity to point people to Christ.
That's Dr. David Stevens. The book is Jesus MD, A Doctor Examines the Great Physician. You can head to our Facebook page at Faith Radio Mornings, and there'll be a link there where you can sign up and enter into the giveaway. We have 5 copies. Highly recommend walking through this text. It's fascinating stories, real life stories of how Jesus really was the great physician and what we can learn from that. Dr. Stevens, we just have about a minute left here. I would love to get into the final chapter of your book a little bit. That is subtitled The Great Physician Specialized in Impossible Cases. And that is such a hopeful invitation that there's nothing beyond the pale when it comes to Jesus and his kingdom. Everybody can come back into the fold.
Yes, and it's absolutely true. You know, you think of the diseases he faced back then, and even raising people from the dead. I mean, there's nothing more impossible than that. And yet he had the trust in his father and the faith to move forward as the Son of God to do this. And God brings things into our lives that seem impossible. It may be a broken relationship, difficulties in school or difficulties in our job and things with a boss that's just not well. And yet Christ can deal with those issues, and he showed it through his life, through his words, and through his promises to us that he would be in the midst of everything that he brings into our lives. And we can often make a huge, huge difference. I got called out to California over the physician-assisted suicide issue, and we had actually brought a suit against the state, and the assistant attorney general interviewed me. And I thought, this is impossible. I ate 5 hours of this and getting grilled. And yet you trust God in those situations and you see his hand. And no matter what the situation, God is there. And that's the basic thing we need to remember.
Dr. Stevens, we love your book, Jesus MD. Highly recommend it to you as listeners to pick up a copy of this. We have 5 for giveaway here in the morning show. You can head to our Facebook page at Faith Radio Mornings to sign up for that. And again, Dr. Stevens, thanks so much for your presence on the program. We love how you're able to talk through so many of these complicated physical, spiritual, emotional issues from a Christian standpoint.
Great to be with you, Peter. God bless.
We'll take a break for Breakpoint and bottom of the hour news. And when we come back for the second half of this hour, I'm going to be joined by Captain Ronald Johnson, who was there at Ground Zero during the Ferguson events. And he has a book that he's released titled 13 Days in Ferguson. You won't want to miss it. Well, if you caught our conversation earlier this hour with Dr. David Stevens, you know that we have a book giveaway for you this morning on Faith Radio Mornings. It's titled Jesus MD, a Dr. David Stevens examines the great physician, Jesus. There is the possibility of getting 5 of these copies. Head to our Facebook page on Faith Radio Mornings. You'll see a link to sign up, and that'll be open for 24 hours before we announce who receives these books. Well, up next on Faith Radio Mornings, I'll be joined by Captain Ronald Johnson in his memoir, 13 Days in Ferguson. It is a gripping tale about what unfolded in the events in Ferguson, Missouri some 4 years ago with the shooting of Michael Brown. And Captain Johnson was there right at the ground level facilitating so much of what happened. I couldn't put the book down. You're not going to want to miss this interview with Captain Ronald Johnson. Yesterday on Faith Radio Mornings, we are joined by singer, songwriter, and author Andrew Peterson, who is talking about the difference between worship and simply leading songs.
I've been thinking lately about how I almost wish we could change the terminology, because I think that a little bit of damage has been done by making so much of worship music or being a worship leader, when it seems like the music does much more than just give us an avenue to worship God. I met a guy not long ago, and I said, oh, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I'm the chief musician at my church. And I said, you're the chief musician? Where's that from? And he was like, oh, it's in the Bible. And you realize that in the Psalms, you know, like some of them says, for the chief musician. And so his point is just like, it's a way of reminding the people in the audience or the congregation that music is more than just worship. Music is a way to learn doctrine. Music is a way to rehearse the Bible stories. Music is a way to, like, be unified in what we believe. So it does a lot more than merely give us a voice to worship God. So, I think paying more attention to the breadth of a gift that music can be in the church is a pretty important thing.
Love that conversation with Andrew Peterson. Just so delightful to speak with about the importance of worship versus singing songs. I know many of you love his work. He's coming to town in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area this Friday at Cedar Valley Church in Bloomington. The concert tour is also coming to Wisconsin and Stamford, Connecticut, many places in our listening audience. If you want to catch that entire segment with Peterson, you can go to myfaithradio.com and listen to all what he had to say just about writing books and writing songs. Well, I see we have on the line Captain Ronald Johnson, who will be on next. He was an officer right in the midst of these very significant events that unfolded in Ferguson, Missouri 4 years ago, and the racial divide that our country finds itself in, and he talks articulately about that. He'll be on next on Faith Radio Mornings.
Man, girls can be brutal to each other. I mean, wow. What happened to that sweet little princess you once knew? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. In a world where young ladies are pressured to present themselves older than they actually are, competition breaks out, mean words are exchanged, and what do we have? Drama, drama, drama. Mom, Dad, You can't always stop the damage, but you can counter the effects when your daughter is hurting. Here's some pointers. Send her encouraging notes or text. Buy her something new when she's not expecting it. Dad, take her on a date. Above all else, teach your daughter to respect people, including herself. Let her know that you'll always love your sweet little princess, even amidst the drama.
Want to hear Mark in person? For a list of upcoming events, go to ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
It's 19 minutes before the top of the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined on the line by Captain Ronald Johnson, Ferguson, Missouri. And Captain Johnson, you released a book here, a memoir titled 13 Days in Ferguson. It was just such an incredible read. I couldn't put it down. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
So take us back to that time, a little over 4 years ago now, in August of 2014, in which some of the events in Ferguson began to unfold. Remind our listeners what precipitated these 13 days. What were some of the events that we saw that were so tragic in the streets?
What are the police incident between an Officer Wilson and a young man, Michael Brown Jr., which caused protests in our community and, quite frankly, in our nation?
And for you, it sort of unfolded slowly. You saw you're participating in it in those early days, but it was sort of the slow boil. It wasn't an immediate explosion of what began to take shape. Kind of talk us through what it was in those first day or two as the events began to unfold.
Well, you know, in those first day or two, protesters and rioters began to take the streets of Ferguson, Missouri. Became to be looting. Buildings were burned. And as the days went on, the crowds began to grow and grow and just get larger and larger, which caused a large police response. And it really pitted community against law enforcement in a way that I think our country had not seen since probably the 1960s.
And for you, early on, you were participating, but you weren't front and center with it. But you did begin to have some interactions with some of your colleagues on the force, maybe colleagues that were of different skin color. And it began to surface even some divides for you in the midst of what had been longtime friendships.
Yes, and I think that a lot of emotions were centered around that time. And we start seeing people express their differences and their feelings in ways that we had not had discussions. Well, friends hadn't had discussions before, and we began to see each other in a different light. And in some cases, for me, I talk about walking in the middle of the road, trying to balance both sides, and both sides wanted you to take a side. And so it became a very challenging time for me personally, I think for everyone involved in a personal sense.
Well, it's an incredibly compelling book. I couldn't put it down. It's titled 13 Days in Ferguson. To our listeners out there, I highly recommend picking it up. Captain Johnson, you do just an amazing job of taking us into the ground level of how tense the interchanges might be and what we can learn from that. And so early on, again, in the process, you were there, but you weren't necessarily in charge of the situation. What began to happen? I know you were listening to some announcements and the governor came on and you found out then that you were going to take a more significant role in the ongoing protests.
Well, I think in our country, there was everybody kind of wanted a different response and kind of thought that the response was too heavy-handed at the start and had too much of a military look. And so there was a lot of pressure from around the country to do something different. 5 days in, the governor decided that he was going to make some changes. And I had no idea that I would be the one that would be put in charge. And I went to a meeting, and that's where I found out. I found out right there in front of everyone else. And so it did become a challenge to find out and not have time to think through an exact plan how to confront the situation.
Well, and I love when you called your wife about this, and her question, her first response was, why? And it sort of took you back, as you describe it in the book, but you began to reflect on it, and that question of why became a very significant question for you in this process.
It did, and people always ask me to this day, why do I think I was chosen? And my response is, it doesn't really matter to me why I was chosen. I'm honored and humbled that I was chosen.
Well, and I think for you,
to take this walk.
Yeah, and I'd love to just get into some of the decisions that you ended up making that really began to have a positive impact. But even in thinking through why and how you would lead moving forward, your father played a very significant role in your understanding of life, of faith, of how to walk these things out. So talk about the role your father had in your own life.
Well, you know, my father, when he was in his early 30s, was in a tragic car accident, which paralyzed him partially on one side of his body. But growing up, I always saw him walk with his strength. The walk that he had, he walked with it, and he just kept walking. He just kept walking through life the best that he could. And I think just that empowering time in my life, that was my motivation. And I said, well, you know, what is going to be your plan? And I decided just to walk down the streets of Ferguson and see the people that were there and see their faces and hear their voices and walk and understand and just walk in faith and knowing that everything would be okay.
Well, and you talk about, too, that at that time there was this, it was one of the first moments of a really significant divide between people and the police, maybe since the 1960s. And at that time, the police force was showing up in riot gear for, again, understandable reasons, but it just led to this perception of the divide between. And so you made this decision, and talk our listeners through this, to do away with the riot gear and really walk among the people, you and the rest of many in the police force, and what that was to take off the gear and just become part of the people. Talk us through that.
You know, for me, it was a moment of not showing those titles and those uniforms we wear, but showing ourselves of being men and women and fathers and mothers and uncles and all those things we are before we put on any title that we have. And, you know, and for me, you know, I talk in a book about not wearing my police vest. And everybody said, why didn't you wear it? And even my wife, of course, it was a challenging time. But I wanted the people on the street to know that I am you. I'm a part of you, and I don't need protection from you, and because my faith was protecting me. My God was protecting me, and for me at that moment, that's all that I needed.
Well, and you have a powerful story then of a woman who came out of the crowd and just embraced you at that time. Speak about what kind of was going through your mind at that point, and you ended up running into her then several months later as well.
Yes, you know, I'm walking down the street not knowing what the reaction was going to be for me. The first time that I decided to walk down the street and how people were going to react toward that. And I'm walking down the street and this lady comes out of the crowd and gives me this big hug and says, thank you for seeing my face. And at that moment, I knew that I just needed to walk. And that was my plan. And that was a plan that God was giving me. And I about 4 or 5 months later, I was out in the community and I saw her. She walked up and said, do you remember me? And I said, no. And she said, I was a lady that came out and hugged you. And she said, my name was Angel. And what a name and what a that at that moment that the first person that would hug me and give me that strength to continue to walk was a lady by the name of Angel.
I get chills hearing the story. The book is 13 Days in Ferguson. It's a memoir from Captain Ronald Johnson. And we're going to take a short break. And Captain Johnson, when we come back, I would love to get into this further then in terms of the importance of really seeing one another and not reducing each other down to issues or stereotypes and generalizations if we're going to have any hope of healing some of the racial divide in our country. So more to come with Captain Ronald Johnson next on Faith Radio Mornings. It's about 9 minutes before the top of the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings, and delighted to be joined by Captain Ronald Johnson, who has released a book, a memoir titled 13 Days in Ferguson. Captain Johnson was there and was tasked by the governor to help dissipate some of the ongoing racial tension in those events that unfolded with the shooting of Michael Brown some 4 years ago. And Captain Johnson, before the break, you were talking about seeing people, and this woman who came out of the crowd named Angel, who just referenced that you saw her. And what I would love to hear from you is just the importance of really seeing one another. It's too easy, isn't it? And then to just look at the news and say, well, this is just true of everybody in every circumstance. But if we really do engage in relationship with people across these divides, some healing and hope can happen.
Oh, I agree. And, I always talk about this sense of people are saying they're colorblind, and people are colorblind.
Yeah.
And people need not be colorblind. I think when we're colorblind, we're not seeing the value in each other. And I think by seeing each other, we see the value and we can see the experiences of each other, and it can become this shared conversation because we share more with each other and we're different.
Well, and I think, too, that we then are subject to the idea that everybody falls into a certain kind of category. And I have a text in from a listener to the show who says that they're a father-in-law of a son from St. Louis and daughter who lived there and church and people in Ferguson. There was a lot of good people there, but sometimes there's people who came to just even begin to stir up some trouble, too, and maybe then end up creating the perception that everybody is coming from a certain point of view. Did you see some of that where maybe people were just coming to stir up trouble as well while you were trying to do the work of racial reconciliation?
Yes, and that's why whenever I go around the country and talk about, there were protesters and there were rioters. There were protesters there that were out there in a brave manner and trying to create change for our country, just like many of the men and women that were there in law enforcement. But there were people there that weren't there to create a positive change and were not trying to have this shared experience, and were trying to create that divide. And so, yes, that was a part of the issue that we were contending with. We made it through it. You know, good always topples evil.
Mm. Well, and it takes people like you and others to just sort of have the courage to begin to break down these walls, I know. And I would be curious to your suggestions for somebody like me, Captain Johnson, who lives admittedly in a fairly white demographic in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. I have done quite a bit of work with my wife and others and married by a pastor of an urban community in inner city Chicago. But even then, I felt that I was mostly unfamiliar with how people just live day in and day out in various segments of our country. Do you have suggestions for just how to get involved and cross some of these divides relationally when we're so segmented geographically?
I always say that we try to meet people that are different than us. And I think that's something that we all need to continue to do throughout our life. But I also think when we meet someone, we talk about who we are and we let them tell us who they are. And we go back and digest that. And like I said earlier, we'll find out that we are more alike than we're different. Volunteer and different communities. And I think then we begin to see where the needs are in our country and in our community. And I think when we do that, it makes better. I think as parents, we have those conversations early on with our kids, and we introduce them to the most diverse group of people and community and ideas that we can.
And I appreciate your invitation as well to recognize that we aren't colorblind, that there really are factors that play into some of these racial conversations. And so for you, where are things in Ferguson? How do they stand right now? Is there still tension in some of the community? Because I know that as you described it, it wasn't a place where a lot of tension had historically been. Where do we stand now in Ferguson?
I think Ferguson is starting to move forward, but I always talk about it's inch by inch. There hasn't been any big steps, but it took us a while to get to this point in communities like Ferguson, the communities in our country. But people are having that conversation. People are beginning to talk. And even for us in our community in Ferguson, we're seeing the church reveal itself in a stronger way than it had before. And so I think that has been so important to this change in our country, in communities like Ferguson. And so we're seeing it inch by inch. But as long as we keep walking, and I always say that I'm on this new journey in my life, and if we keep walking, we will be okay, because ahead is always that brighter moment for us.
Well, and as you've worked through some of these racial reconciliation conversations, I'm always mindful of the quote of Martin Luther King Jr., who says that darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. For hate multiplies hate, and violence multiplies violence, and toughness multiplies toughness in a descending spiral of destruction. So at some point along the way, I'm guessing somebody has to step in, similar to what you did, but you were just one person. We all need to step in that way and say, hey, we're not going to meet hate with hate. We're going to try to combat it with love.
I agree. And I think it's one by one. I think sometimes we do think, well, one person can make a difference. Mm. But if we all become that one person, look how strong we are, and we become much stronger.
Well, it really is the invitation.
So I believe in that.
Yeah, and invitation of the church to really shine that light in the world. Captain Johnson, where can we find your book? I assume it's through many of the normal, usual channels. Again, it's titled 13 Days in Ferguson. If our listeners want to pick up a copy, where's the best place to go?
All the Christian bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, Walmart.com, and Target.com. So anywhere books are sold. And Tyndall.com, publisher of the book.
Love it. I was really moved to tears as I read. I can't recommend it highly enough. Thanks again for taking the time to be part of Faith Radio Mornings, and just again for what you did in Ferguson so many years ago.
Well, it's been an honor, and thank you. And if anybody wants to follow me on my Facebook page, it's Lodestone, S-G, L-O-D-E-S-T-O-N-E, S-G. So please follow me on Facebook. I'd love to hear from you and would respond back to you.
That's awesome. God bless, Captain Johnson. Really appreciate your time. Still time to sign up for the book giveaway with Dr. David Stevens. Head to our Facebook page for Faith Radio Mornings. And sure, appreciated that conversation with Captain Johnson. 13 Days in Ferguson is the book. Can't recommend it highly enough as a way to navigate racial conversations. Catch you tomorrow, everybody, on Faith Radio Mornings.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.